I'm Megan Wild.
And I'm Paul Kershaw.
And you're listening to a special mini bonus episode of Generation Squeezes Hard Truths, because we've got some budget news that we couldn't wait to share. So Paul, can you please do the honors of explaining what's happened?
Listeners will know that for years now, we've been calling on governments to recognize that our provinces and our country aren't working fairly for all generations. And we had the Prime Minister announce that the 2024 budget is going to be organized entirely around the commitment to deliver fairness for every generation. That's not happened before in Canada. You know, there's still lots of details for us to learn about, you know, after getting access to the full budget. But to have a Prime Minister acknowledge that hard work isn't paying off for younger Canadians and then see the deep-seated roots. You know, we haven't been being good stewards to make sure that we protect for younger folks, like a healthy childhood, a healthy home, a healthy planet. And that's coming right now to sort of bite us all in the rear ends and make it hard for young folks to get ahead. I'll probably say this line many times in our conversation today, but the first step in solving a problem is acknowledging you have one. I've never heard a federal government say we have a problem of generational unfairness. Now we do, and I think that's a potential game changer.
And I just want to interject there, Paul, that you've been doing this for more than a decade, trying to get governments to recognize the squeeze on younger Canadians. So can you say more about why a federal budget focused on fairness for every generation is so significant?
You know, when we've been trying to solve housing and affordability and childcare and affordability and these large deficits that are being left for younger folks to pick up down the road and for climate change, those are symptoms of our underlying disease. And the underlying disease is that we've been so willing to extract the good stuff now and leave less of it left over for our kids and grandchildren, whether it's the atmosphere's ability to absorb carbon and now we leave extreme weather, or all this wealth we've extracted from the housing system, which means we've left unaffordability for our kids and grandchildren in the housing market, or, you know, we take a lot of the taxes made available by economic growth and invest later in the life course for our aging baby boom family members who we love, but then there's little left over for childcare or housing or to fight climate change, etc. What's been so significant about the last week is that our most senior policymakers at the highest level of Canada's government are recognizing these things are connected and that they relate to just a relationship between generations that is broken, that has been too willing for short-term political gains over the last many decades to punt off some of the important things we need to do to make sure that we leave a proud legacy for those who follow in our footsteps. And now we have a prime minister who, I guess, in many regards is under the gun because he is just inheriting decades of problems. But nevertheless, he's not avoiding it now. And that is something that, one, I'm proud of, two, I'm so desperately hopeful about, because acknowledging that we have problems of generational unfairness is actually honing our attention to those deeper roots. And that can get us to solving the problems.
Now, speaking of problems, not everyone is as excited as we are about these announcements. There's some skepticism out there about this pivot to generational fairness and concern for younger generations, because some people blame the current government for these problems. So what do you make of those criticisms?
Yeah, as we've been pushing, whether it's, you know, Premier Eby in British Columbia, an NDP premier, or Premier Ford, a Conservative premier in Ontario, or Prime Minister Trudeau, Liberal Prime Minister in Ottawa, you know, to acknowledge generational unfairness, you know, one of the risks that any politician is like, if we start to acknowledge this, people are going to say, like, we're the ones responsible for the problems that hard work isn't paying off for young people like it used to. But we bring the generational frame because it helps focus our attention on the longer term. Housing unaffordability didn't just start in the last 8 years. Indeed, you know, the data show that average home prices accelerated faster under Prime Minister Harper. They went up 60% in Canada under his tenure as Prime Minister. They've only gone up about 55% under Prime Minister Trudeau. So, like, it's a deeper root issue. And in fact, in British Columbia, the problem started before Prime Minister Harper. But if you're going to solve a problem that's decades in the making, we have to see, where did those roots start? And if we just want to scapegoat a particular politician, that scapegoating distracts our attention from addressing the deep-rooted issues from decades ago. And so I will say, like, right now we're running structural deficits in BC, in Ontario, at the federal level. That's three different parties. So I don't care what your ideological predilections are. All of them are running large deficits. And it has to do with that in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, we knew that the baby boom population was going to be initially young and then get older. And when they're older, it was going to be expensive, but we didn't prepare for it adequately. And as a result, now at that expensive moment in boomers' lives, it's demanding more and more taxpayer dollars to cover their medical care and their retirement income security, which is fine. We want to do that, but we needed to actually collect enough revenue from that generation while they were in their working age years. And governments didn't do that because it was easier politically to kick the can down the road. And then I was at an announcement about childcare today, and this one so hits home to me because, $10 a day childcare is like such a part of the Gen Squeeze mission. And I heard people talk about, parents right now who see others getting $10 a day childcare, but they can't find a space and how frustrating that is. And, they're angry at the current governments. And it's hard for me not to say, we've got to direct our anger in the right place, because it was over 50 years ago that people first made a recommendation to have a national childcare plan and the Royal Commission on the Status of Women in 1970. And for then decades, governments ignored the recommendation. If only decades ago we'd started building the system, then no young family today would be without childcare. But we didn't. This is part of the generational unfairness that exists. We didn't build that system when we desperately need it now. And so we have to be actually quite appreciative that finally, after half a century, we do have a federal government that is investing historic levels to make sure childcare never costs another rent or mortgage-sized payment. And we do need to actually then turn our attention to some of the provinces that are being slow in their implementation of this historic funding that Ottawa has made available. And it makes me frustrated because I think that some of the time these provinces are playing politics. They don't want the system to succeed because their party and government in that province isn't aligned with the party and government in Ottawa. So they don't want to give Ottawa the win. And I just we don't have time to play politics with young people's wallets. We don't have time to play politics with kids in our lives. And I just desperately want us to make greater success on childcare. And I'm sad that we didn't start decades ago, but boy, I'm excited by the progress we're making now.
So while we're talking politics, the opposition leader, Pierre Poilievre, has been talking about these problems facing younger generations for quite a while. He's done a pretty bang-up job talking about housing hell in particular. So I'm wondering just how you think this is different.
Yeah, great question. And Mr. Poilievre has been strong in the last many months in saying to a younger demographic, you've been doing everything right and you're still stuck in your parents' basement, which is like quintessential Gen Squeeze language. And so good on him for directing attention to the hardships facing younger folks. I think what's so significant, though, about what the Prime Minister is doing is he's standing behind a podium announcing the 2024 budget saying fairness for every generation, is that Mr. Poilievre is acknowledging there are problems for younger people, but he's not yet acknowledged these intergenerational tensions. Mr. Poilievre has been more often saying it's the Prime Minister's fault. And you just heard me say, actually, that is not what the data show. Could have asked the Prime Minister to act a little more urgently, as we might have asked of Doug Ford or Premier Eby or any of the premiers before. But the roots of the problems are in bad policy decisions made decades ago or poor planning decades ago. And so I'm still looking for Mr. Poilievre to acknowledge generational unfairness that's giving rise to childcare unaffordability and housing unaffordability and structural deficits and climate change. And he seems slower to move there. And I'm also desperate to hear from all of our politicians, what are the solutions? And one thing you can absolutely give Mr. Poilievre credit for is he said, hey, we don't want to have housing gatekeepers. And I'm like, sure. Okay. Now we have a federal accelerator fund anyhow, that's getting municipalities to overcome their NIMBYism. So what else you got, Mr. Poilievre? And I'm not sure. I would love for people to share with me more. The thing I think he's got is axe the price on pollution. But that, I think, is just a dreadful way to try and promote affordability, because affordability is not going to be delivered by ending our responsibility to pay to clean up the messes we're making when we pollute. Our kids are counting on that. Literally, their health, safety, air, drinking water, food, these are all in jeopardy if we don't pay to clean up our pollution, present and past. And I'm looking for a better affordability strategy from our opposition leader right now. And so that's one reason why I think that having the current Prime Minister acknowledge this state of generational unfairness is absolutely critical by comparison with the important work the opposition leader has been doing to say, young people, I hear you. I feel your grief. It is housing hell.
Okay, this might sound a little random, but bear with me. I kept thinking while you were talking of my kitchen counter, and my kindergartner, Rosie, burns a lot of steam by running around our little apartment. And just about every week, she bangs her head on this corner of the kitchen counter. And every time we have a big tearful fit, and she gets so angry and blames it on her big sister. Like, even if she's asleep in the next room, it's still her fault that Rosie hit her head. So I think I'm thinking of this because it reminds me that we don't think that clearly when we're hurting. Like, we look for someone to blame. So all that to say, I think politicians might take advantage of that tendency every once in a while.
That's such a beautiful example, because I think you're right. When we are angry, we're going to lash out. And it's appropriate to hold those in positions of power accountable now. I completely sympathize with that. I completely sympathize with Rosie. I'm like, it's not my fault. It's got to be somebody else's fault nearby me now. But you know what? I guess to some degree, Rosie's saying there was some poor planning that went into the design of this kitchen, and it's causing me a hazard. I could hit in my head. If only we had the proper planning, I wouldn't be banging my head on this all the time. And I think that that is really, you know, a lovely metaphor for it was easier some decades ago to like not pay attention to that kind of detail, which is causing Rosie such a headache. But, you know, what was politically easier to ignore back in the day is causing not just headaches and migraines, but just such utter hardship for younger folks today in Canada. And we need to acknowledge the poor planning back in the day. We need to think about the range of things we can do to fix it now. We need to ask those who were around back in the day to say, what more might you be able to do to help us make up for that poor planning? And yet, I mean, actually, I would like to hear thank you, younger folks, for adapting as much as you are. And maybe that's why I'm excited about what I'm seeing from the Prime Minister right now. If he's going to like promise to try and deliver more fairness for every generation, is like, we see that it's not been working that way. And we want to thank a younger demographic for enduring the hardship that's been required of that. And now ask the rest of us to figure out how can we get on board.
Okay, I do like that idea of getting older people on board and thanking younger people for enduring so much. But I think that's why I feel really optimistic. But also, I'm nervous because younger generations need disappointment about as much as Rosie needs to hit her head on the kitchen counter again. So you've just talked about all these examples of how these are big, deep, gnarly, far-reaching problems that go back decades. I want things to change, but I do also wonder how much difference one federal budget can make.
Well, we can expect a lot. If you start naming a problem and then you set in motion all of government's infrastructure around an entire budget to go start fixing that problem, like we can make progress reasonably quickly, but it will not turn around in a single budget. I am absolutely certain that we will report once again that the 2024 federal budget grows spending for the aging family members in our lives much more quickly than it grows spending for their kids and grandchildren. The key thing that I'll be looking for is like, does the budget acknowledge that tension? And if we do, I will say it is historic to have a federal government acknowledge that tension. And if they don't, then we're going to have to say, hey, don't just leave this a slogan. Generational unfairness is a critical problem we need to solve. But I don't imagine a federal government having the prime minister stand behind a podium that says day in and day out over the next 2 weeks, fairness for every generation, that they're not actually going to be willing to acknowledge that tension. So we're going to need to be patient. It's going to take some years to recalibrate all of the machinery of the federal government to be better focused at working for all generations, still protecting the healthy retirement of those that we love who are getting older, while ensuring that their legacy isn't just unaffordable housing and extreme weather and unpaid tax bills for their kids and grandchildren. It's a patience. Darn, it's hard to expect more patience from a younger demographic, which means that the attention also needs to go towards their parents and grandparents, to ask those who are older, sitting around our family tables, who have such love for their kids and grandchildren, who might have been tapping into maybe the bank of mom and dad to help out at moments, to say the bank of mom and dad is not a policy solution. Maybe it's been working to some degree as a family solution, but we need policy solutions for entire generations. Bring that love from your family table into the world of politics. Vote in the upcoming elections for parties that are going to not only want to protect your healthy retirement, but get it right for your kids and grandchildren, that commit to working for every generation. And I don't say that as a partisan statement just because I see one particular government doing it now federally. Like, I want all parties to promise that in their platforms for the next federal election. And I'm delighted to see, you know, the BC government and NDP party heading into an election in BC this fall. And their strategic plan is all organized around ensuring that BC keeps working for all generations. So happily, Gen Squeeze has helped make generational fairness a political issue at the highest levels of the land. And we now need all parties to kind of catch up with that so that it's not a partisan issue, that we have cross-party commitments to make this country work for all generations. That's what I want to see going forward. I think we've taken a huge step this week, and now we need to see it through.
Yes. I think that's a perfect place to wrap up so we can invite our listeners to help see this through. I think one of the things that's most exciting to me is 2 years ago when I started with Gen Squeeze, we didn't hear Canadian politicians utter the phrase generational fairness. So these pre-budget announcements show to me that the Prime Minister and Parliament are listening, and Canada is a humongous freighter to turn even a few degrees in a new direction. So I think we need to respond to this change by giving our federal leaders some applause and encourage them to keep going. So we hope you, our listeners, will take a few minutes to go to our website, gensqueeze.ca. Look for the Budget Season 2024 button at the top and sign our thank you card. We'll relay your messages of encouragement to our federal leaders and their staff in the coming weeks. And of course, come back on April 16th to look for our analysis of the federal budget. Thanks so much for listening.